We know what needs to be done.
I was certainly pretty idle at school, but I've never been overimpressed by academic qualifications, I must say.
I find his remarks deeply offensive. Yeah.
There's an awful lot of good practice in good teaching going on all over the country.
Bad life teaching, which they do at our school quite a lot, is put questions up on a board and tell you to find out the answers in a book, so all you're doing is just copying down the books.
They stand at the front and they talk. Half the time you can't hear what they're saying.
And you get bored.
You get bored and you just start mucking about.
And now it's time for the Mark Steele Solution.
Good evening and welcome to the Mark Steele Solution, the programme where each week I come up with a radical proposal to change all of our lives for the better. And this week's proposal concerns education. For instance, when I was a kid, older people would say to me that I should try and do well at school. And I used to think, well, you can't have done from the way that your generation answers questions. Because say you'd got an exam question saying something like, why can't you get electricity from wood? You'd have put, because you can't. Where are the pyramids? Where you bloody well left them. In fact, I'm so scarred by my experience of school that I can come home drunk, put the telly on, see Open University, and then when I go out to make a cup of tea, I honestly expect the telly to go, and where do you think you're going? So that's why tonight's proposal is that no one should go to school until they're 36. Now, no doubt there may be one or two people saying, but you wouldn't learn anything. How much do you learn in school at the moment? When I was at school, all they did was get us to memorise a load of stuff off the blackboard and then ask things like, why, what did the Vikings come in? Longboat, sir. No. Was it rowing boat, sir? No, we did this yesterday. It's hordes. The Vikings came in hordes. Well, this is because the whole education system is based around exams. But this isn't the way that people learn. If you want to learn how to make an apple crumble for your pudding, you don't invite your neighbour round and go, right, test me on the ingredients. Cooking apples, flour, sugar, margarine, cinnamon. There are some things that you do learn at school as a child. You learn violence, you learn fear, you learn boredom, and you learn to do as you're told. But for me, the violence would start most days before it even got to the school gates, when someone would go, oi, Steele, dead leg, my son, yes! In most schools, bullying is so much a part of the school day that the bullies ought to take a register.
Name?
Watkins.
Abnormality?
Overweight.
Pavarotti? Name?
Johnson.
Abnormality?
Underweight.
Live aid. Name?
Smith.
Abnormality?
Absent.
Surreal bastard.
And the biggest bully in most schools is the games teacher, who makes you do things like run round a field. No choice, you have to run round a field. And some kids just can't run, so they're just wandering round. And the games teacher knows all about divide and rule, so everyone else is going, can we go in, sir? And the games teacher's saying, no, nobody goes in until Fatty's back. And then everyone's going back, oh, Fatty's back, no, can we go in, sir? No. Because Fatty took so long, everyone's got to do another 50 press-ups. Right, oh, you're for it, Pavarotti. So they also teach you fear. Although sometimes it can be more subtle, like when you get the safety lecture. Look at this! The javelin! It might look like a toy, but in the wrong hands, it is a lethal and dangerous weapon. We had a boy here a few years ago. Roger Watkins were his name. He thought the javelin was a toy. He thought he didn't have to follow the correct safety procedure. Came running up to throw the javelin, wasn't wearing the correct footwear. Slipped, skewered the whole of Class 3BX. They had to be taken to hospital in an intercity 125. And the other teachers know that fear works, so they copy him. So the next day you go to chemistry.
Look at this! Magnesium sulfate. It might look like a toy, but in the wrong hands it is a lethal and dangerous weapon. We had a boy here a few years ago. Roger Watkins was his name. He thought magnesium sulfate was a toy. He thought he didn't have to follow the correct safety procedure. Came running up to light the sulfate, wasn't wearing the correct footwear, slipped, dropped the Bunsen burner, caused an explosion, shot dead the Archduke Ferdinand, and caused World War I.
If you were 36, you'd just go, oh, you've been at the mushrooms, mate. But as a kid, you believe whatever it is that teachers tell you, so they can frighten you into doing anything. Like at assembly, where once a month the headmaster gets up at the end, and you know that the only reason is because there's been a crime in the area, and that everybody knows it was done by someone at the school.
Now, some of you know who it was who did this thing. And you might think that you are being their friends by protecting them. Let me tell you this. If you're really their friends, you will come to me after assembly and tell me who it was so that I can put them in Borstal.
This is why they send you to school from 5 to 15. If you went to school at 36, they couldn't do that. They'd have to keep you there by actually making the lessons interesting. As it is, they just go, right, copy this down. I can see you even when I'm not looking, you know. But this gets boring, so after a while you go, yeah, Pete, what, you're playing football dinner time? I might be, yeah, who's got a ball? I don't know, I think Brian's got on his locker, right, I'll meet you around the back by the swings at 1 o'clock, right. And then the most awful thing you can imagine happening. Maybe you know the answer. Steel. Is it Italy, sir? I see, Steel, the president of America is Italy. Detention in my office, 4 o'clock tomorrow. But this is outrageous. You can't go around boring somebody and then blame them for being bored, can you? If you don't want kids to be bored, don't be so bloody boring, you boring sod. That's the answer, isn't it? It's the borer, not the boree, that is to blame here, surely. Actors can't do this. Halfway through a play, you go, so, Ophelia, thou hast come to forfeit thine right to the kingdom. You, full throw along, fifth seat down, pay attention, you come back tomorrow, watch the whole thing again, twice. See, they're not trying to teach you anything, they're just trying to keep you under control. And it's not the kids' fault. At that age, they don't want to be there. So the main thing a teacher has to learn is how to impose discipline. Some teachers would be really stuck if they ever got a class that actually wanted to learn.
What's your favourite chemical? Mine's magnesium sulfate.
Right! I will not put up with noise in my classroom. Brown is something funny.
No, sir.
What?
No, sir.
Right! If anyone else has something to say, they'd better say it now. Well, come on, a clever remark, someone. What about a rude noise, hmm?
We'd just like to get on with the lesson, sir.
Right. Well, I don't actually know anything. I only learnt how to tell a class to shut up.
This is the main reason why they send you to school as a kid, because the one thing they do want to make sure that you learn is to do as you're told. Don't question authority. That's what they teach you right from the beginning. Like when you're 5 and you put your hand up, and there's only one reason you put your hand up at that age. I'll go to the toilet, please, miss. And if you're lucky, they're in a good mood and they say, go on then, hurry up. But if they're in a bad mood, they'll go, no! No, miss. And then they say, why didn't you go at dinner time? And I used to think, well, there is an obvious answer to this, but it can't be the right answer because you're an adult and 30 and a teacher and qualified and I'm 6. But when I look back on it now, I think, no, I did have the right answer. The reason that I didn't go at dinner time was because I didn't bloody well want to go at dinner time. So it would have been pointless me going because I'd have stood there and nothing would have come out because you can't have a slash in advance, can you, miss? Because, miss, bodily functions aren't like a bank, are they? You can't say, oh, I've got a busy day tomorrow, I haven't had time for a crap, I'll have 3 today instead. The thing is that kids are interested in things from a very young age. Kids are always asking questions. Why can't cats talk? How much does the moon weigh? Who invented cheese? And parents think that kids are a bloody nuisance, always trying to find things out. We'll send them to school, that'll stop that. Kids could be interested in things like history, but the most interesting it ever got for me was once a month when the teacher put a film on so that he could nip out. And then he'd say, now I'm going out of the room, but I don't want any talking because I will be able to hear you. As if he was going to be able to hear us from the pub. And this film would be narrated by an out-of-work Blue Peter presenter.
Now, one of the things that happened in history was the French Revolution. And we're going to learn how it all began. Once upon a time, France was ruled by a shy, kindly man who loved animals called Louis, which is French for king. He had a beautiful wife called Marie Antoinette, who loved the French people so much she wanted them all to eat cake. But then, one hot summer's day, she heard a noise. That noise was called a revolution. Outside, agitators had swept into Paris on horseback and threatened to burn down the Eiffel Tower unless the king handed over power to a gang called the Jacobins, which is French for psychopathic murderers. They immediately invented a machine for chopping off people's heads, which they called the guillotine, which is French for guillotine. People were executed for the slightest thing, even parking offences, until eventually the whole of France had no heads. And you know, to this day, French people still eat snails.
And the way they teach languages. I hated French at school. Then when I was about 18, I went to France for the first time and realised that I found language fascinating. I went up to some bloke and said, excusez-moi, je cherche le banque. And he said, vous cherchez le banque, n'est-ce pas? And I just thought, bloody hell, it works. You make these weird noises and they know what you mean. But at school, all you get is the language labs.
Aujourd'hui, nous apprenons les mots pour les animaux.
Animal words today.
Numéro un. Le chien.
Wow, wow.
Où est le chien? Le chien est sur la table.
Dog's under the table.
Numéro deux. Le mouton.
Bah.
Où est le mouton? Le mouton est sur la table.
This is useless. I thought, no, language is a living, breathing thing. It should be exciting. And you don't learn anything useful. I thought, one day I'm going to really need to know French. I'll probably be on a Pacific island somewhere one day swimming about. And I'll suddenly see sharks or something. I'll go, ah, les raquins, les petits enfants, allez vite, beaucoup de raquins. Ah, allez vite, allez vite. Où sont les raquins? Les raquins sont sur la table. And on top of all this, under the present system, the people who make the decisions about education are the part of the population that don't go to school anymore. So they don't have to suffer the consequences of what they say and do. If they had to go to classes themselves, they wouldn't stand up in Parliament and make stupid comments about class sizes not being important. I expect in Cabinet that the Education Secretary gets up and says, now what is the correct way to teach children? With a blackboard? No, in hordes. You teach children in hordes. See, if it doesn't matter how many pupils a teacher has, why aren't driving lessons like this?
Right, everyone. Check your mirrors. Indicators on. Into first gear. Release the handbrake. And move off slowly. No! No, sir! No, not you! You're in the Texan! Now turn right! Not into the garden!
And because they don't have to go to school, the people who make decisions about education can come up with all these ridiculous schemes like national curriculums and league tables and more testings, which apart from making things worse for the kids, means that if you're a teacher these days, your training is like this.
Yes, well, I thought it was very interesting.
Watch out, the school inspector's coming.
Oh, right.
All right. Sit down, notebooks open. Now, what is the correct way to teach children? Oh, come on, we did this yesterday. All of you together.
Formal discipline, make them learn dates, set them a test, spend the day marking it, work out the average, publish the results, in a league table, get marked by Ofsted, get annoyed about it, decide to vote Labour, find out that they do the same, only worse.
So, I think we're all agreed that sending children to school is stupid. But But before we look at the alternatives, let's hear from our regular correspondent, live from number 9, Begonia Close, the voice of the cul-de-sac, Mr. Cul-de-sac.
This is the sound, this is the sound of the summer.
Education? Don't talk to me about education. They were going to build a school near here. I said, oh, I'm not having it, bloody kids opening and shutting their desks all day long. We're not going to be able to hear ourselves think. And the money they spend on chalk is a waste of ratepayers' money. They could have spent that money hanging people. 46 pence for a jar of Marmite, it's an outrage. And look at the sweets they steal. No wonder there's a recession. They should have a big sign up. Only one school child allowed in the economy at any one time. But do they have to know? No. I've been writing some letters to the Education Authority. Here they are. Dear Education Authority, last week I saw one of your teachers whistling. Isn't there enough noise in the world? It's an outrage. Here's another one. Dear Education Authority, when I was at school I learnt the capital of Zambia. Now I've forgotten it. What was the point of that? Here's another one. Dear Education Authority, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why? That's as far as I got with that one, but it's coming on, don't you think?
This is the sound, this is the sound.
Thank you, Mr. Cul-de-sac. So what are the alternatives? Well, some people believe that the answer lies in the past, that education should go back to basics, so that you get party political broadcasts like this.
117 is 17, 217 are 34.
The wonderful sight of a class of disciplined children being taught the necessities of life. But sadly, these days in boroughs like Lambeth, such traditional teaching methods are frowned on. Any teacher found using them is likely to be sent on a Cuba awareness course, paid for by you, the taxpayer. That's why we're proposing a new national curriculum which includes compulsory study of the commentary on Virginia Wade's victory at Wimbledon in 1977.
Right, Simpson. To all, final set. Miss Wade to serve. Come on.
And Ginny serves to the forehand, backhand, cross-court return, approaches the net, lock from Miss Stover, Ginny goes for a smash. Ooh, I say.
Well done, boy.
So vote for us and ensure that your children are taught less about lesbian studies and more about Virginia Wade.
Now, another alternative is to go completely the other way and be like these hippie teachers I used to get at school when the real one was ill.
Right, class, what we're going to do today is discuss the role of women in the transformation of water into steam, OK? Now, Johnny, you're a deprived gypsy kid. I think we should hear what you think.
I think you're a tosser, sir.
So the only possible answer is to send people to school when they're 36. Just think of all the advantages. When you're that age, you know what you want to learn, you know why you want to learn it, so teachers couldn't get away with acting like this.
Well, I think it's very sensible.
No, what is the meaning of this noise? I can hear you in the staff room. Mr. Johnson, sit down. Mrs. Russell, will you stop breastfeeding and get your books out? And where do you think you're going, Dr. Molyneux?
I'm sorry, I'm on call. My bleep has just gone off.
You attend to a heart attack patient when I say so and not before. Your bleeper is a signal for me. It is not a signal for you. Now, German, today we are going to learn the words for animals. Nummer eins, der Hund. Woo, woo. Wo ist der Hund? Der Hund ist unter dem Tisch. You, Professor Harper, MBE, pay attention. Don't you want to learn German?
Yes, I do, but I also want to know how to say £2 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, what's the German for you, Jemmy bastards? You only beat us on penalties.
And games teachers would have to change, because most people in their class would be the same size as them. So if they tried to force 36-year-olds to run round fields and do things that they were physically incapable of doing, you could do it back. You could go into the staff room with a big box full of red hot pokers and go, oi, Mr. Barnes, pick one of them up. I can't pick that up, it's a red hot poker. Can't or won't. Well, I haven't got the right gear for picking up a red hot polka. Well, you'll have to do it in your underpants then, won't you? And teachers would have to make sure that their lessons were interesting, because they'd never know who might be in their class.
Right, class, open your books, copy this down. The Amazon basin consists of three regions, the upper Amazon, the lower Amazon, and the middle Amazon. The subsoil and climate of the upper region gives rise to an abundance of vegetation, and you at the back, are you listening?
Sorry.
Oh, know this already, do we? Or maybe you think you're some sort of expert on natural history, is that it?
Well, yes. I'm David Attenborough.
And lessons like woodwork would be better, because instead of learning how to make ridiculous objects like a thimble dish, or a clock holder, or a spoon guard, they'd have to teach you something useful. Right, class, today we're going to do the basic coffee table. Now, this is how you go about it, so watch me carefully.
Hello, sir, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a coffee table, please. And our scheme would be better for teachers, too, because they wouldn't have to teach people who didn't want to be there. For instance, there are loads of 36-year-olds who'd be fascinated to learn a subject like science. They'd be going, good, I hope we do something about chaos theory, because I've never really understood that. Whereas a bored kid who's been forced to go is just going to think, I'll tell you what, a break time, let's sneak into the biology lab and gas all the stick insects. Loads of adults would happily watch a film about African society and about how it developed and all the different tribal cultures, whereas 13-year-old boys just go, here, look, you can see that Zulu woman's tits. And under our scheme, kids would learn more. Because instead of suffering all that torture and misery of being stuck in a classroom learning nothing, they'd be able to go out and experience life, which is how kids learn things in the first place. You stick a 5-year-old in Italy, by the time he's 6, he's speaking Italian. Buy a kid a computer, within a year they're going, look, Dad, I've accessed Boris Yeltsin's drinks budget. Kids learn about things like physics, naturally.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
I've got this theory that the sun's rays get stronger, right, if you focus them through glass.
Oh, they teach you that in school?
No, me and my mates burnt this earwig under a magnifying glass. It's brilliant, you should have heard it pop.
And another advantage of our scheme, parents couldn't get rid of their kids by sending them off to boarding school, because they'd be in their 60s and 70s, so their kids would just have to say, all right, Pop, and you're going to a home. And you couldn't get all these ridiculous ideas that these people who run education keep coming up with, because under our scheme, the people who came up with them would still be going to school. So if you introduced compulsory testing, the very next day you'd be sitting at school going, oh, how many degrees in a rhombus? And then this would happen.
Oh, my God, that test was so boring.
Here. Look who that is. In our class.
That's the Secretary of State for Education, isn't it?
It is, and all. Boy, Minister.
Yes?
Dead leg, my son! And when you get to 36, most people do want to learn things. People spend hours learning about car engines and computer programs and photography. And you get these competitions where the prize is a weekend's tuition from a top chef or a top gardener, and people go in for it. No kid would go in for a competition if the top prize was double geography on a Saturday. All sorts of people who you think would only ever be interested in something like dog racing or Guinness will suddenly say, you know who I like? Them pre-Raphaelites. Now, that's what I call a painting. And so, with the Marksdale solution in place, what would a typical school day be like?
And what time do you call this? It's 9:05. I've told you before, school ends at 4:00. You've got to go home now.
The solution was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, who also performed it with Maria McErlane and Kim Wall. The producer was Phil Clark, aged 35 3/4.